So we're coming to an end of our season on Ephesians, chapter 6. We've spent a long time in one chapter, haven't we? It's been good, yeah. Not quite like some of the great expository preachers who could spend 20 years on the book of Romans, but you might get a bit fed up. Some might not survive. So it's, but it's wonderful just to spend time in God's word and part of it, and to reflect on it. I think how do I say this without being rude? Sometimes we want to be taught as Christians. We want to be fed. But sometimes we're only actually feeding our mind and feeding our desire for knowledge and understanding. I remember just at the during the week speaking to one girl, and she's come from a generation of Christian after Christian after Christian. Of my dad's a pastor, mum's a pastor, granny's a pastor, great granny's a pastor, you know, all the ones a pranty's a prophet, this and this and that, you know, and the poor girl sitting there trying to sort of comprehend where does she fit in the Christian world, because she just doesn't think she can fit, and she's going through the Bible and she's just saying, I need to understand it. I'm trying to understand it, and I just don't understand it. And I said, so let it speak to you. Because this book's a living book in the power of the Spirit, inspired by God, infallible truth. Because when we say infallible, we don't mean there's not thing. We mean it's truth. The truth is infallible. The truth is undoubted. The truth is fulfilled in that word. I said, if you don't understand the Word of God understands you. The 6,000 years of God's wisdom and knowledge of human nature and who we are within this Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. And nothing new will come again that's not within this book about who we are as human beings, our nature, our character, our sin, our loss, and who we stand before God. And so let it speak to us. Read it. Ask the Spirit to open your eyes to the Word of God. Is that not what the psalmist says? To open my eyes to your Word, that you might reveal this Word to me, so that I may gain understanding from your Spirit of what you desire to speak to me and to speak into me. And then once you do that, it's good to go context, background, exegesis, and do all this stuff and find all the understanding you want, but we approach it from the place of the Spirit, allowing God's Spirit to speak to us. Otherwise, it just becomes another obstacle. The Bible's another obstacle to our growth in faith, because we try to understand it rather than let the Bible understand us. And I've done something very naughty, which I shouldn't have done, which I challenged her to open the Bible any page. And you know, I said, just open up, it'll speak to you. Honestly, I didn't know what to say. I knew whatever she picked in the Bible, whatever you do in the Bible, it's going to speak to you. I said, you know, open the Bible and it'll speak to you. And she opened the Bible and she opened it, Isaiah 49. You know, I knew you and your mother's womb. I knew you before you were born. I had plans for you. In talking to Israel, I had plans for you. I had purposes for you. You know, your minds, and I'm going to do. She was like, oh, wow. You know, God's been saying that to me all my life. You see what I mean? Thank you, Holy Spirit. But this is a living, powerful, spiritual faith which understands us and helps us gain understanding of who God is, his nature and his purpose and his love. And we're going to have a look at the Ephesians 6, the last few verses. And again it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. I was praying in the Spirit there. I said, God, please, please, don't open the page of cursing. Holy Spirit, guide our hands. You know, open up somewhere that's going to speak something positive to it. You know, And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. The mystery of the gospel. Whoa. Imagine Paul using that. It'd be slam nowadays, wouldn't it? The gospel, a mystery. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I'll leave that to John to pronounce this next name. Tychicus, or whatever, the dear brother and faithful servant, the Lord will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Wow. Who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying love. Because love never dies, is it? Love's eternal. So if you love God, it's going to be a love for eternity. How you love God now is how you're going to love God for eternity. That's scary, isn't it? So you don't love God a lot now, you need to start kind of loving a lot more. And getting a lot more love in there, an undying love, a desire for him, a hunger for him, a passion for him, and say, God, I love you. I'm not talking about an overwhelming kind of being passionate and romantic and kind of like exciting. I'm just saying that love, that desire from that hunger from whatever circumstances challenge you, just a hunger for God to be in there and the circumstances to touch you and to move amongst you and to love you and to heal you and restore you and build you up. That love, that everything that you do, you want God to be part of that, that you don't want to walk outside the presence of God. Now, is that part of, finally, of Paul sending his friend off to tell people how he is? That's good, isn't it? Now we get to the end of the letter and tell people how I am. You know, I may be in chains, I may just be an ambassador, but tell them who I am. And I'm sure he's asking to tell them how he is, so they can pray for him in the Spirit. So they can pray for him and his needs. They can pray for that request that he might speak the word fearlessly, that they might know how to pray. Isn't that important? You know, as a church, if we don't know each other, if we don't know how each other are, how can we pray for one another? What do we know what to pray for? How do we defend against the enemy when we don't know how we are? How are you? How do you know and how do I know how we need to pray for each other and declare each other over to fight in the circumstances, to stand firm with you against the enemy, against sickness, against disease, against hurt and pain and loss and grief? That sense of standing together in prayer. I may not be able to do much for you, but I can pray for you. I can declare over it. I can wrestle for you. I can pray that what you need in that moment, that God will supply. Isn't that exciting? But there's a shift that we need to make and to do. And it's something that is, I don't know, maybe a word for you, but it's what God's saying to me. You know, it's very, 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 it's a challenging word because God keeps on saying to me, he says, stop trying to lead the Spirit. The Spirit will go where it wants to go. You're not going to be able to lead it. It's a fruitless task. You can't lead the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you. And you have to go where the Holy Spirit wants to go. And that's a different dimension, isn't it? That's a different mindset, that's a different perspective, a different place, a different starting point for everything, isn't it? You know, as many people say, oh, we set up a church and we ask God to bless it. We do something, oh, God bless it. But is that what God led us to do? Is that what God wants us to do? That to be led by the Spirit to that place, what Jackie was saying, of hunger, of desire, of undying love. Very emotive words for British people, isn't it? Oh, that's too much. You know, just leave that for the Greeks. Yes. Sorry, Marina. but to be led by the Spirit. What does that mean for you? I mean, I love it when the presence of God comes down, isn't it? It's so calm and peaceful. But what happens when God takes you to another realm? Well, that's when God moves you so much, you're overwhelmed and you can't contain it and can't hold it and can't cope. What do you do? Become the mad person in the church? Because it's just too much. God's just too much. You're talking about the creator of the universe. You're talking about an energy and force so powerful, and he wants to live in you. It's like, boom! So we want to be led in the Spirit, and in all we do, that we pray in the Spirit, we plan in the Spirit, we work in the Spirit, we talk in the Spirit, we love in the Spirit, we minister in the Spirit, we hope in the Spirit, we pray, we do worship in the Spirit, we preach in the Spirit. That's different, isn't it? Praise God, he's given us a wonderful word to guide us and to give us a foundation of. And he sends the Holy Spirit as the comforter. But I prefer the old Latin word. It's comforti. It's got a San Paolo accent on it, not a Latin one. Comforti. Which means come with power. Because I don't know about you, but you know, I don't want somebody to comfort me who's all kind of wimpy, do you? It's like, you know, you kind of, oh God, it's so hard. Somebody comes, it's okay, it's okay. Don't worry. You want somebody to come around, you put your arms around, you go, yeah, come on, we'll do it together, we'll stand firm, we'll beat this, we'll fight this. You want somebody who comforts you but comes with force and strength and power that you don't have to help you stand and to move. I don't know about you. You know, we think about comforter as somebody being weak, but a comforter is somebody who's strong. God's described as a comforter. The Holy Spirit describes it. So it must be strong, isn't it? To comfort is strength. You know, out of what, 20, I think it's 23 times in the Bible, or 21 times in the Bible, helper is used. And it's used most contentious with women in Genesis chapter 2. But do you know who's called helper more than anybody else? It's called helper. Because a helper comes to rescue, to save, to restore, to hold up, to bring strength into a situation where you need it. It's not somebody who's an assistant or an auxiliary or somebody weaker. It's somebody you want strong. You don't want a helper. You know, it's like, my goodness me. I'll come and help you. Oh, I'll just stand here and have a cup of tea. You know, that's the minister's job. You want somebody who's strong, who's going to help somebody who's strong, who's going to come. So we're going to move into a time of being led by the Spirit. And I've put some things on your table or your chairs. If it's not there, you're sitting on it. So, and what I've done there, I've written some, well, I haven't written them, it's a chap who wrote them. And they're declarations. The things that we can pronounce. So if you're struggling in the sense that you want to declare something in the Spirit, you feel that the Spirit's been leading you, but you're not sure what words to say or formulate, then this can help you. You don't have to use it. It's here as a help and a guide, strong words, strong declarations, strong scriptures to help you pronounce God over the situation. Now, you can use this in prayer, and you can stand up and you can say, oh, well, I want to read this and I want to declare it and I want to declare it over all of us. You might have something, you might have it in your hand, and you might say, wow, God, help me to think, is this for someone? You know, we were doing this when we were doing our prayer ministry training. You know, Kat was doing training with us, and to look at pictures and think of pictures you might share with someone. But look at it and think, Father, Spirit, help me and think, is this for somebody? Can I actually take this to somebody and read it and pray over them individually? That's a challenge. You don't have to do it, but it's just been Spirit-led, so it's a challenge. So have a think about it. And it's mine. This one basically I picked up here. It says, we are in agreement with God's promises to pour out his Spirit on our descendants and declare that we will see them grow fast. Agreement with that. that we want to see generations of our family and generations of this church, or people come to this church who have the promises of the Spirit poured out upon them because of the decisions that we make to be led by the Spirit, to be Spirit-filled, for the Spirit to move now. This decision, this move to make this agreement that we want this to happen, declare it. God, in your name, Father, you know, pour out your Spirit upon us, pour out your Spirit upon our families, pour out your Spirit upon our descendants, our children, pour out your Spirit upon this church and generations to come, that this might be a blessing to come from generation after generation. And it says here in Isaiah 44, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Amen. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in the meadow. Amen. Like poplar trees by flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and I will take the name of Israel, for I will pour water on thirsty land. And so I'm just going to pray over that, and then it's over to you. If you want to pray with somebody, you think that's the scripture. If it's not, go and find another one. There's some around on the chairs, or steal somebody else's righteously. And then it's over to you, and we're going to do it. Now, if you don't feel comfortable, don't worry. You don't have to, because we're all practicing. This is all about experience. This is all about stepping out in faith in the Spirit, because we're all going into the unseen, the unknown. And that's what faith is, isn't it? When you have faith in Jesus, you take step in faith in what is unknown, what is unseen. You take a step into eternity. So take a step of faith. If it's too much, don't worry. Just enjoy listening to others as they pray. It's not here. It's not everybody's gifting, and you don't have to speak out loud if you don't want to. It's just great if you can pray quietly for somebody. That's wonderful. It don't have to be a big mouth like me. You can instill. So let's pray. So Father, we are in agreement with God's promises to pour out His Spirit on our descendants. And we pray that not just our descendants, on our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come, but also for those who will come to faith, who will be our children in faith, Father. And we would declare that we will have children in faith in this place. We will see people come to faith in their hundreds and their thousands. And Father, we pray that they will be Spirit-filled, filled with your Spirit, Lord. And we pray as they bring other people to faith, that their children in faith will be, this your Spirit will pour out upon them. And Lord, that you will take this dry and thirsty land that we're standing on now, this dry and thirsty church, and that you will pour streams on the dry ground, and you will pour out your Spirit, and this whole place will be a living water, a living river, where your water of your Spirit will flow through, in Jesus' holy and wonderful name.